Again, I thank the dads in this church because you are dads who are reinforcing the truth to your children. When a while ago the children came forward and the dads stood around, that was emblematic of what God does with us to encourage us. And those kids, dads, the biggest thing you can do to your children in life is end every day in prayer with them. Don't let it be assigned to mother. You're the priest of the home. Go into that child's bedroom and kneel beside the bed and lay hands over them and start prophesying over them of what God is going to do in their life and the character that they're going to have, and you can watch it happen in your lifetime. We are called to be the priest. Don't give that role up. Oh, there's times you are out of town. I understand that. My son was raised with someone that travels. But one of the things that was always interesting to me is if he knew I was coming home, he was always awake. He's still to this day, I think Amanda would tell you, if he lays down, he goes to sleep. But on those nights I was coming home late, I would hear, "Dad," and he would wait for a prayer. Fathers, pray earnestly with your children. Pray earnestly with your family. Turn with me to Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead of bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Notice the text begins addressing mothers. No, it's a direct assignment to dads. Don't exasperate your children. Don't cause them to go in anger, for they will rebel. The word fathers here is actually a verb and not a noun. It's an action and not a subject. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. This is a caution designed to put us on guard against stirring up in their spirits anger. Many times I've been told, I never did enough. I never did it correctly. I never was received as important by my own father. Fathers, don't let your children go a lifetime without hearing, "Well done. I'm proud of you. I support you." Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Don't embitter your children. Oh, it doesn't say not to correct your children, as I'm going to get into, because there is discipline. Fathers, bring up your children to believe. The word here says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, in short, in another example, in a better way, instead, bring them up in the admiration and love of the Lord. Bring your children up because they can't get there on their own. One of the neatest things I find in this church, we have a few single mothers, is how dads from other marriages are taking on the children and being surrogate fathers. Because those children need a positive role model of a godly man. Proverbs 29:15 in this says, "A child left to himself shall bring shame on his mother." Now here's a sad truth. According to a 50-year study of Christians and non-Christian families, Most young adults who follow Christ come from one of two families. From homes where they grew up and the love of Jesus was demonstrated by their parents, or in homes of total unbelievers. Sadly, very few came from homes where the subject of Christ was treated with indifference, with apathy, and with lack of commitment. It's sobering to think that the chances are better of a child growing up in a non-Christian home to become a sold-out believer than growing up in a spiritually lukewarm home. That is terrible. Disciple-making dads provide a nurturing atmosphere in the home where his children can grow up to love and serve Christ in all of their ways. In this same light, and I've gone through many examples in my own life of watching other parents, but Paul challenges us literally here to be training and discipling of our children, to provide discipline for our young girls and boys. The Living Translation, paraphrasing Proverbs 13:26, says, 24 rather, says, "If you refuse to discipline your children, it proves that you don't love them. If you love your children, you will be prompt to discipline them." Our kids need correction. I am not talking about abusing your children. I am not talking about overstimulus with a belt. I'm talking about discipline, consistency, and righteousness in what we expect from them and from ourselves. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it." I am a disciplinarian. My son, and even today, my son and daughter talk about the fact that we had a situation where in their young lives, if we were in a restaurant and they were misbehaving, their cue was, "Let's go take a walk." And they understood they didn't want to take a walk. The other cue at home I had is, "Dad's got a real short fuse right now. You might not want to push me." Be consistent. See, I believe children need discipline, and they will push every boundary. As we push every boundary with God, they will push every boundary. Hey, they're just like us. God disciplines us. He instructs us. And that's the next, that to instruct or teaching the children in the Lord. See, the issue for us fathers is not to have a bunch of kids that just perform along a set of rules. It's not rule enforcement. It's maturing young adults that we seek. If we give the basis, God gives the increase in their life. If we are consistent with what we do and showing love, they will respond in doing likewise. Being a father is an awesome role. But when we do it by God's way, it's marvelous at what we see. Finally, and if you'll turn to me with one last scripture, to Malachi 4:6. It's interesting to me that the last recorded scriptures for 400 years God says this, He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. God's promise before He came quiet for 400 years is that He was going to reunite children with fathers and fathers with children. This is a hard issue. When I was fully focused on my children, I think I did a fairly good job. But when I wasn't focused, I blew it horribly. Here's the deal, fathers. You're going to blow it from time to time. But as God has mercy, our children have mercy also when we go to them and say we were wrong in how we handled this. It's okay to say to our children we're wrong when we handle something and they see us correct and bring an effort to serve God. They fall into that line. We cannot turn the hearts of our children back to us, but God can. God can. All we need to do is to cry out to God and say, Father, you promised that you would turn the hearts of my children back to me. Give me the heart for my children that I needed to have and I failed to have when it was important. And reestablish in us. Now, I know this is a heavy word, and someone told me I always give a heavy word to fathers, but every year I understand the role of fathers more and how we blow it. But this I want you to hear. Fathers, hear this. In spite of our discouragement with our own shortcomings and our failures and our inconsistencies, hear this. One, there are no perfect fathers except for our Heavenly Father. We can all be better dads if we work at it. God restores relational ruptures. In Malachi, it says that God comes with healings in His wings. Let go of our bitterness, our sense of failures, and trust in God. And finally and ultimately, we don't father alone. God will strengthen us. God will show His faithfulness upon us. If we but to seek to do it in God's way, God will bring the increase and close the gap between us and our children. That is real affirmation. It's not about my failures, but my surrendering to His successes. That's what God wants us to hear on this day, that man is set aside to recognize fathers. If God be with us, dads, who can stand against us? For He will guide and direct our ways and the path of our children. Fathers, and I got many young fathers. This church is healthy with young fathers. Fathers, begin to pray today for your little girls and your little sons, for their health, guidance, and direction. When you pray with them at night, prophesy over them that they will be people that make a difference. As the passage I gave you where the young man every day to his daughters or to his children spoke into their life, so speak in the life of the child that God has blessed you with. See, I don't believe children are by accident. I believe God gives us that we might increase through them. Speak over your children. There's a situation where a child has been wayward and awkward. Mothers, don't give up on that child. Fathers, don't give up on that child. Speak over them as unto God. Prophesy to the winds that the bone and muscle and tenure will come back together in faith of that child. And God will provide the increase. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please stand. Turn in your bulletin to page 4. And let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the fathers, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He arose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people continue on page 4. Father, we pray.